welcome to episode 5 of Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. And that is my signature flute. And many religions, they use the flute as a call to worship. And I am using the flute as a call to worship this podcast. Hope everybody's fine. I'm doing this on a Sunday afternoon here in sunny Southern California. I should say windy California. We've been having a lot of wind lately. Went to a... I guess the Christmas season is... I guess after Thanksgiving, the Christmas season is officially on anyway. But I went to my first Christmas function last night. An old friend of mine had a dinner party, and he really gets into Christmas. He has all the decorations, the Christmas songs in the background. He's got his big TV on mute, and he's playing, I forget the name of this movie, but it was one of these old movies from 1954 starring Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. You know, a big Christmas musical where there's just nothing but every time you look up, they're doing another 12-minute song and dance. And it's always the same. The funny thing is, it's always the same dance. It's like you're watching this thing, and you go, this movie is the same dance. I hope the songs are different. I mean, you can't really hear the songs because he has it on mute. And it was great. The food was great. I saw some people I haven't seen in a long time. And Christmas brings up a lot of things for me. Well, one thing is, you know, growing up as a Jew in America, I always felt left out during Christmas because, you know, although we celebrate Hanukkah, which is sort of Christmas light, I think it was just an excuse for my people to have, you know, kind of a celebration because the Christians were celebrating the birth of the Messiah and we were celebrating the fact that we got 8 days out of some oil that should have only lasted a day. You know, we got a lot of mileage on that oil. We got a lot of mileage on that oil. Let's have a celebration for 8 days. And the thing about when I was a kid, you know, I always wanted to have a Christmas tree. It seemed so exciting, all the colors and the lights. And we used to celebrate with good friends in the building I lived in. So I would go to their house on Christmas Day, and I'd get a present, and we would help her decorate the Christmas tree beforehand. So we had some Christmas experience. But they had the Christmas people, they had everything, and the Hanukkah people, we had these little menorahs in the windows with the little blue and white colors, and just almost like we were ashamed, like, happy Hanukkah, everybody, we're Jews, hi, happy Hanukkah. And you know, the whole world is celebrating Christmas. You know, you got all that Christmas songs, Johnny Mathis. You know, are you gay? Are you glistening? Are you dizzing? You know, all those Christmas songs. And you don't have Johnny Mathis doing, oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. A dreidel I will play. Anyway, I used to feel, you know, pretty left out and wanted a Christmas tree. Now that I'm older, I just think it's ridiculous that you put a big tree in your house, you get all those pine needles laying on the floor, and there's nothing sadder than after the holidays when you see all those trees laying by the garbage bins. Yeah, it's just so sad. So now I'm okay with it, and I get to celebrate with people. So that's that. So I had a great time, and here I am at my little studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. One thing I wanted to say, I mentioned a couple podcasts back that, you know, a couple ladies had put on Facebook, commented, "You're welcome." I didn't understand what they were talking about. I didn't realize I thanked them, and then they brought up the fact that I say thank you at the end of my podcast for listening, and what was my concern, I realized, was that I had been somehow I had been hacked, and somebody was thanking people on my behalf. That was my crazy concern. Like some gratitude hacker was hacked my account and was going around going, thank you for whatever. So that's why I got all paranoid, because you know people hack things, and so that's what made me all crazy. And here we are. Like I said, I'm in my little studio apartment, and I'm trying not to say "and." I'm saying "end." End. I mentioned my Russian neighbors, and I talked in the beginning of my podcast, the first two, about the older guy. The younger guy, I forgot to tell you, when I first met him and I introduced him and I said, "Hi, my name is Al," and he told me his name is Thalik. That's all, Your Honor. That's all I have to say. Yeah, Thalik. I don't know. Somebody has to tell him. It's not going to be me. I tried to maybe call him Thalik. I thought maybe it would be more like Thalik. But it's Thalik. That's the name. And I'm not going to be the one to tell him, but somebody should. And I haven't started really promoting the podcast because I want to get comfortable with it. I want to, you know, I'm getting used to speaking into a mic by myself in my house as I look for comedy material and or one-man show material. That's kind of why I'm doing this. Plus, just to put this out there, put something out there. But it's funny how some people, you know, really show their age. Like I have an old friend. I mean, he's not that old. But, you know, he was around my age, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little older, I forget. But he wasn't raised with computers because there were no computers for us to be raised with. And we hadn't talked in a while. And I mentioned he's kind of a fan of my stand-up. So he wanted to know where I was going to be performing. And I told him that I was taking some time off now. I've got a little problem with my hips. I need to get these hips fixed. And so until I get that fixed, I'm really not going to do any stand-up. And I said, but I have this podcast, this sort of audio podcast that you can listen to. And, you know, if you like. And it's funny. Like, people like that, they get almost, it's so out of their field, their experience. He doesn't understand. He didn't understand what a podcast was, and I had to try to explain it to him. It's basically just a radio show, but it's on the internet. And then when we were about to hang up, he almost in a kind of a hostile way, he was just like, "Well, all right, maybe I'll check out your podcast thing, whatever. Is that what a pod? How do you say it? Podcast? Yeah, maybe I'll check that out." I was like, "Okay, fine, check it out." But it was funny. It was almost like he feels betrayed. Like, "Oh, you're getting involved in that new technology. What's wrong with you?" Then another guy, he's a manager at this local Gelson's that I go to. And he was kind of shitting on my website. You know, my friend of mine, Wesley, he's not a professional guy, website guy, but he knows more than me, and he helped me put this website together. And this guy, I had told him I have this podcast because he, like, you know, he thinks I'm funny. And I said, "Well, you might want to check it out, whatever." And so I was in the store the other day, and he goes, "Al, I saw your website. You know, it's not really much." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm sorry you're not impressed. You know, it's just a basic website, just, you know, something to put up for now until I can, hire somebody, maybe make it more, make it nicer. I don't know, whatever." And I said, "Well, that's just, you know, where my podcast is." And he said, "Well, I haven't listened to your podcast yet." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Why don't you convince me why I should listen to your podcast?" And that really threw me because I had to tell him, quite honestly, I really don't care if you listen. Quite frankly, you can do whatever you want. I have no... nothing invested in you listening to my podcast. You can not listen. You can listen. You can like it. You can not like it. I don't really care. So I said, I don't care, man. Listen to it. Don't listen to it. How's that for convincing you? How's that for a sales, for the takeaway sales close? So, you know, like, I don't go on his job. And I don't know what would be a comparable thing in the supermarket business. I guess I could walk up to him with a potato and go, hey, convince me to buy this potato. Anyway, he's a good guy. He's just a little misguided. That's all. A little misguided. And, great news. I am officially now one of the people in America that is covered with health insurance. Thank you very much. I haven't had health insurance in a while. I mentioned last week that it was kind of hard getting health insurance because I got this problem with my hips, but California now has this this company that will accept pre-existing conditions, which is really funny because I was talking to a couple friends and they were saying, once you're born, you know, everything is pre-existing. I mean, it's just like you're going to get pre-existing. It's just kind of a BS thing that the insurance companies have come up with. But now there's a company that will accept people, you know, who have conditions, and they will actually, you'll be able to be treated for it. So I got to look into that. I'm not looking forward to getting surgery, but it seems to be that's where we're heading. But if I can get better, then that's fine. I just have to get gear up for it. But I was told at one point I had to call in some information to them while I was in the process of actually putting my application together. And they told me that once everything was processed, I would get a welcome letter, a welcome phone call, and a package with my card and everything, which I haven't got my card and my package yet, but they say it's on its way. And so I was expecting, I got my welcome letter. I was expecting my welcome call. And my point of this is, I think we have this illusion, like George Carlin talked about the illusion of security. You know, we're so paranoid now, and we're so security conscious that everything is kind of like BS security. So every time I would call them, before they would even allow me to give them information or give me information, I had to give them my name, my phone number, my address, and my birthday. Which is fine, okay? This was their way of me proving that I am me, I guess. But I pointed out to several of the people a couple times that how does this prove who I am? Anybody could actually call up, get a hold of like a piece of my mail, happen to know my birthday, and they're in. And the people that work there agree, but they don't make the rules. And so, and I thought, you know, the better thing would be to we should have, instead of like a security, like that kind of thing, it should be like a security sound. It should give you like a sound, like they would give you like when you call up and they would say, hi, can you give me the sound? What is this? And you go like, okay, it's a, and they would go, Mr. Berman? And I think that would be better. It would be better than, because you would really have to know the sound and duplicate it. But anyway, one day I'm sitting here in my studio apartment and the phone rings and it's a lady from the insurance company. And she asked for me and I say, it is I. And she says, well, can you, she starts asking for security questions, like my address, my phone, you know. Well, she's got my phone number. She might have even asked for my phone number. You know, what's your birthday? And I go, wait a minute, hold it. You're calling me. You called me. Why do I have to give you security information? Who the hell are you? And I said, by the way, why are you calling me? Is this my welcome call? And she says, I'm not at liberty to say. And I was like, really? Okay. I said, she said, you can call back if you're not comfortable giving me this your security information, because I called you. You can call back and talk to somebody and find out why I called. And I said, okay. So I called back, and I got somebody else, and I said, somebody called me, and they want all the security information, and so now I'm calling you. So here's, you know, here's the normal thing, name, date of birth, address, shoe size. And then after I give her all that, and she says, well, we'd like to welcome you to the insurance company. And I thought it was pretty funny. Before they welcomed me, they had to put me through the ringer, security-wise. Oh, man. Oh, I think that's it. I think I'm spent. I think this was another podcast. My friend Bill Walton said last week he was expecting me to play out flute on the way out. So until next week, thank you all for listening to my show, my podcast, Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. And now I'm going to play you out.